Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning. It's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Steve Edge is here.
Good morning.
Morning. What are you up to? You sounded a bit grumpy, eh?
Well, no, let's start with you.
It's a bigger picture, bigger story.
So how's your week been?
It's been all right. Well, I've been off to see the Wizard most days, haven't I?
The Wizard, wonderful Wizard of Oz.
The wonderful Wizard of Oz. Yeah. So that's been
why?
Because mainly because of the wonderful things he does.
Did it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But he's not a wonderful Wizard of Oz. He's a con man. As you know.
He's a bit of a con artist.
He is a con artist. It's funny because I think it every night when I'm on stage. There's two things that I think when I'm on stage in that show. One is, this guy's a con man. And also, do the witches know? Because they're supposed to be magic. And they're like, oh, the wizard's all magical. And I'm like, he's not. And why don't you know that? Has he tricked you as well? Which makes me think, is Glinda really the good witch? Because does she use Dorothy to kill the Wicked Witch? She a user. Because at the end, what does she do when she goes?
Crime drama, isn't it?
Yeah. When she goes at the end, she goes, I want to go home. And what does Glinda say? We have had the power all along to go home with those shoes. Yeah. You're like, could you not told me in Munchkinland?
Mention when the shoes, just say, nice shoes. By the way, you know, if you click them.
They'll send you home.
Special feature. Like a James Bond when they show him all the like the pens that shoot bullets out and stuff. There you go. These are your shoes. By the way, click the back bits together. Boom. Yeah. Back home.
It's it bothers me every night on stage. I think I could have been in bed for 8 o'clock.
Is this during a bit? Are you thinking all this when there's a bit when you've not got a lot of dialogue?
Yeah, there's a lot of times where it's not you. It's not focused on you.
And then you get to the end of it going, and I think she should have known and he should have known. And then you look around and everybody's just staring at it and you go, oh, it's me. Is it me?
We don't want you to go, Dorothy. It's out of nowhere. There's that. But they haven't let me put a line in, which I really like. And they've let me keep it, which is at the end, which has been a lot of fun. And I'm not spoiling it now because spoiler alert. She goes home.
Thanks, Ant, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry, mate. Sorry. It's only been out for 85 years.
I've been busy.
There's a bit at the end where she goes, and there's a Family Guy sort of joke about it, and I thought, and we sort of went, oh, let's put this in, because it's so funny. She goes, and Scarecrow, I'll miss you most of all. And in our script already, it was already in there. I go, wait, what? And she's like, no, it's just I met him first. And I've added, met him first. What is it, like 8 minutes in it? Is that gets a nice laugh? So we've been having a bit of fun with that.
Good point.
Like only 8 minutes before. So
we don't say out loud in front of the other people.
I know. It's well rude. We're right here. It's been an absolute joy. And it carries on tour, Wizard of Oz, after I leave. I think they go to Milton Keynes or Woking and those sort of places next. And then they actually go back into London's West End at the Gillian Lynn Theatre this summer. So make sure you catch it if you've not caught the Wizard of Oz so far. And thanks to everybody who came, both at the Palladium and at Manchester this week. It's been an absolute treat. I've had a very sobering week, Steve, if I'm honest.
Have you?
Yeah, well, I just got to that point where, and look, I get it. I don't want anyone to think I'm sort of claiming poverty or anything like that. But I had a moment where I just thought, right, I've got to look at my spending and we're not decadent people, but we have a nice house and I drive a nice car and, you know, we have nice holidays and things like that. But I'm not dripping in, you know, I've got an M&S t-shirt on and I don't even wear my Casio watch anymore. But it was one of those things where I thought, right, we need to sort this out. I've got 6 kids. I'm in a very precarious business. Who knows when it all runs out? So you've got to work it out, haven't you?
Yeah.
So I'm going through. I said, right, I sat down with my wife. So we're going to sit down and we're going to go through our bank statements. I don't know what you're like. Have you got a joint bank account or are you like separate? How do you do it?
We've got a joint bank account. I've got a business bank account for me.
Expenses now.
Feeds into, yeah.
Oh, it's complicated, man. We've got all sorts of. I have noticed a fair few things coming from you know, being delivered from ASOS and then and getting returned. I don't mention it. I don't mention it. You know, just get on with life, you know. Yeah. But I'm looking at it going, right, we need to sort it out. So going through bank statements, right, so we pull it all together. We've got a joint one for the bills and all that and then our separate ones. So get them up on a spreadsheet. But the amount of things that we are both paying for is mental.
Yeah.
We realise that we're both paying for Netflix separately.
You both got Netflix. You don't both need Netflix, do you?
No, you don't. Famously, you can add your family to it. The maddest thing.
And if you got Sky, you get Netflix free on some things now as well. You know that. Daily,
I found a I found an amount
it's
for
like
the daily
a month or something.
The Daily Telegraph, Steve.
What's that? So you I know what's happened here. You've gone on to read. There's been a thing on there about this new bit of South Manchester. This, you know, it's brilliant. And you've gone, I'll read that. Oh, I've got to pay. 31 days free. I'll do it and I'll cancel it. And you haven't, have you? That's what's happened. That's
you exactly are happened. 90% right. Only the subject of the article is different. And it's even sadder and worse than what you think.
What was the subject? Was it about not subscribing to digital platforms?
Nope. It's so embarrassing that I can't even believe I'm about to admit it on the radio. I signed up to the 30-day free on the Daily Telegraph to read a review of my own show.
And then how long ago was this?
Like a year. And I've been paying $4.99 a month. And the worst thing is, Lucy also has one. She must have read a review of her. I think she uses it for the travel.
One of her own shows.
I don't think it was, to be fair, for her. Hers was travel. But the pair of us spending nearly a tenner a month on a newspaper, neither of us like.
No one's reading. No one reads. The Telegraph,
Oh, I mean, I have... In the first 10 minutes of our meeting, we saved £100 a month. Just by going, why have you got Spotify and I've got Apple Music?
Get Spotify Duo, whatever it's called. Get a joint. It's an extra £2. You get one each.
I just wonder, have I been adulting wrong? Is this what normal people do? Is this what everybody else does? I'm just not a normal person. Do you look at your accounts every month and work out what you spent and sign it all off and work out where your receipts are and all? Do you do any of that?
No. When I get sort of petrol, I take a photograph of the receipt.
Right.
On tiny scanner and, you know, so I can send that. And everything else is in, it's like a business account, so everything else is sort of coming out there except for, you know.
I just don't know what I'm doing, Steve. It's just
so dull, isn't it? That's the problem.
It's dull, B, it's not my speciality and...
That's why you have a tax man, isn't it?
I know.
And every now and again, like, the account, you ring up and he'll go, you've not done this. And I go, well, you got to tell me, mate, because I can't look after myself. That's why I pay you. And what have I got to pay you for telling me to pay the thing that you told me to pay? That's what you're for, soz.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. I mean, back in the day, you heard of people just taking a bin bag full of receipts to their accountant and going, sort that.
Yeah. One of those spikes on your desk that you just slam them all the receipts on and then just on a big pile and just give them that.
I realised as well of like, my mum will be like, oh, can I borrow this? I mean, borrow's a funny word in our family. And then I realised when I've gone through my bank statements over the last year, my mum's basically on a full-time wage just to be my mum.
It's not an easy job, though. It's a nice paying job.
To be fair, it is. Yeah.
It's one of the best paid jobs in the country because it has to be. It needs to be.
It really does, yeah. I just thought I'm going to ask it for next week, actually. I was going to say, what is the most random, most surprising thing you've found on your bank statements? And I just need to find out whether I'm doing adulting wrong. I feel like all I've done, Steve, this morning is talk about me. What's going on with you, pal?
Big news here. It won't have made the nationals, obviously, but it's regionally, it's a big news.
Right.
So Thursday night, about 5 o'clock, water went off. All the water in St Leonard's. All gone.
Water?
All gone everywhere. Yeah, and finished. So Southern Water, famous, you know, for dumping raw sewage. So they're not very liked down here as it is. So then suddenly they just sent a text saying, burst water main somewhere, water's going off. Then the next day, It's in dense woodland. That's what I said, dense woodland. Why is there a pipe in dense woodland? Why is there a main water pipe that supplies all of St. Leonard's in dense woodland? And if it is, you should keep an eye on that water because that's your job to make sure that pipe in the dense woodland is fine and not getting broken. So anyway, we've no idea when it's coming back on.
They're now you've still not got any?
No. It's been since Thursday. They're now saying, obviously we're pre-recording this Friday afternoon, but they're saying could go into next week. Could go into early next week. They sent the text this morning saying we're working flat out. Yeah, you better be working flat out. Don't be going, oh, it's 5 o'clock now, let's go home. We'll come back 9 o'clock in the morning. They've sent a drone video of them trying to just show how bad it is. Long, dense footage. You've got Asda and Tesco giving out free water. And obviously, like the pandemic, everyone's gone mental. So there's like all the roads are knackered now because there's all people are waiting to queue in for 2 hours to get 6 litres of water. Do you know the worst thing about it is? You're thinking, oh, a water, can't have a cup of tea. Terrible, innit? You know what the worst thing is, don't you? You can live with that.
Yeah.
You can live with that share for a couple of days, can't you? Mm-hmm. Flushing toilets. Flushing toilets.
Oh, no, I never even thought about that.
There's four people in this house having ablutions every morning. This morning, we got two toilets, right?
Yeah. One's so got one flush a poo available. Toilet.
So, but it can only become a poo toilet once because once you flush it, that's the end of it. It's not refilling. That system's not refilling. My son went to the toilet this morning and went, I finished, it's your turn. So we used one of our one precious flushes. I've never felt closer to him. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. I mean, it is a bonding experience.
But, that's where we're at. And it's Jack in the Green this weekend. It's a big, like, sort of festival they have down here. Sort of May Day, giant sort of. It's like Wicker Man meets sort of Glastonbury. So that's obviously there's loads of local businesses. I don't know. I'm going to go to the toilet now. Ironically, I'm going to have to go into the sea to go to the toilet, which is what we're accusing them of. So that's it's gone full circle. Got a hot water tank, so luckily we've got some hot water, But it's scalding hot water, and you can't have a share in it because you can't mix it with a bit of coal because there is no cold.
Oh right, so of course.
We can boost it every couple of hours and try and get it. What we think is a temperature, but we won't know until we're under it, if we've got it right or we've lost all of our skin.
Well, Southern Water say supply issues could continue into the weekend.
They said into the weekend, and they're saying early next week, they're saying now as well. So.
Oh my gosh, that's horrendous. There's a picture here of a Hastings resident, David Sparks, who stood in front of, it looks like there's like a courtesy water collection point.
Oh, yeah, it's at Asda. It's at the Asda. Right.
So you drive...
So basically, the Asda's... Yeah.
So you get free water.
Six bottles of water.
Six bottles of water.
Yeah, but I think there's a two-hour queue. It's a two-hour queue for essentially £2 worth of water.
Yeah, and you can't really put... Even though there's no water, you'd still feel decadent pouring Evian down the toilet, wouldn't you, to help with the flush?
I don't think you'd get the force out of a bottle to push the water through or the waste through. You'd have to... pour it all in a bowl or a big jug and then throw it at the toilet to get that the system
run up.
Launching all that water. You got to run up. I mean, it's an injury. There's an injury. And they go, what's happened to you? And you're going, well, I was basically, I'd done the toilet and I was just taking a run up at it. And obviously, when it comes back on, how many pipes are going to burst and all that? That's what I'm worried about.
Everyone's going to flush the chain and... everything at the same time.
Yeah, it's going to come in. Everyone's got their taps fully open. They're going, there's no water left. But when it comes back on, it's just going to fly into all the air bubbles are going to go. And
it feels quite like Basil Fawlty of just to see you running down the hallway with two bottles of Evian to throw down the toilet with gusto.
Maybe if you did that, if you get like Diet Coke is in, you put a Minto in it. Maybe if you throw that in a toilet, it will fizz it the other way. I don't know.
That goes wrong, though.
Is there another way to do it? Yeah, it could go wrong,
I love the way people are still really British. This David Sparks, a Hastings resident, who's picking up bottled water from a station at Sea Road on Friday morning, said he was pretty peeved off by the disruption.
Pretty peeved.
He says, we can't flush the toilet. We've got nothing to drink. We don't have a water tank in our house. So as soon as it ran out, we had nothing. We've had constant sewage leaks into the sea. We've had sewage pipes bursting along here.
Yeah.
I mean, what an, yeah. it's this is an southern water. Nightmare.
It's all right, though, because it's not a monopoly. We could just choose another water company, can't we?
No, we can't, can we?
It is a massive monopoly.
What is it? Southern Water?
Southern Water, yeah.
Southern Water. Let's have a little look. Financial performance. Southern Water. The profits before tax for the year amounted to £368.6 million.
Oh, they're doing all right then, aren't they?
So they're all right.
Give away a bit of bottled water, can't they? Yeah, they'll be all right. As long as they're all right, it's fine, isn't it?
They should be delivering that water to your house. Never mind.
They should be taking the run up into my system. They should be taking the run up into my system. They should arrive with a giant jug, and then I'll go, it's upstairs, second door on the left, get a run up, start halfway up the stairs. That's what they should be doing.
Unbelievable.
It's exactly what they should be doing.
It's just absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Well, I was watching, we were sat here last night, we were watching Ben Fugel, New Lives in the Wild, you know, and there was somebody in, you know, Genaria who like moved to the centre of a forest and, you know, was just sort of feeding like mountain goats and stuff. Even they had running water. I was watching it going, you don't know, you're born, mate.
This is Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
I'm having to read everything off my phone this morning, Steve. I got an email this morning from iCloud saying your iCloud storage is full.
Oh, dear.
I think it's because we have a family storage. So it must be all the kids, photos, videos, TikTok things, everything. So,
yeah.
But I don't know what things are. It says upgrade to iCloud Plus with 2 terabytes for $8.99 a month.
Like
that
a
feels
lot.
Like a lot of money.
Isn't the cloud like using more carbon emissions than all airport travel in the UK or something ridiculous now? There was some facts.
How can it be?
It's not facts the other week.
I don't understand.
It's a big machine somewhere, isn't it? It's a big load of hard drives somewhere. It's not in the cloud, is it? It should be shaped like a cloud, but I bet it's not.
So is it not just in the sky?
No, it's on the, you know, there's a place somewhere it all goes, isn't it? What sky? Where's it? What, just hanging on a cloud?
I just thought it was like in the waves. Hang on. So what? So the cloud is an actual thing, like a place.
Well, it's just a thing that's, you know, not connected to you like a cloud, but it's a thing. It'll be that place when it what's it called? That place that everyone pronounces wrong. You know, where it's like Silicon Valley. That, you know.
Right.
It'll be there. There'll be a big massive warehouse with
all the
disk drives.
I don't know.
It might be wrong. It might be in the waves.
I don't know either. I mean, we're not an expert on clouds. We found that out last week when we were talking about the rain.
I felt like it was It Move Your Best Back a few weeks ago. The cloud is now using more of a carbon footprint than something. And you went, ooh.
See, in my head, if I'm honest, and now I think about it, obviously it now makes sense that it's a building somewhere with loads of hard drives and but in my head, because it's called the cloud, I sort of just imagine a cloud like hovering over your house and all your Wi-Fi, just like the rays of your Wi-Fi.
That'd be cool, yeah. And then when it's thunder and lightning, there'd just be like bits of your
all
searches
your
landing on the pavement. Going, oh God, don't cover it up, stop it. All sorts.
What's OnlyFans? Don't worry about that.
Just shooting out everywhere. It's coming out the gutters. Just weird photos you've taken of that spot on the back of your neck. Like, oh no.
I mean, when you go through your photos, I got one the other day saying, here's a memory from 3 years ago. And it was my back tooth. I chipped my back tooth. And I was trying to take a picture of it with the flash.
And that's your memory.
At it. And that came up saying, you might want to look back at your memory of this moment in your life.
Yeah. With some folk music, Eric. Jason's teeth. Like a compilation of teeth on your phone.
I know, it's random that, isn't it? That when you just get... I think I said you one a little while back. It was me and you just through the years. And it was
that's nice, isn't it? You get around.
They are nice, but it's just odd, isn't it?
But sometimes it doesn't work. The algorithm just has like pet friends and it's just sort of some cats, but then like a bull that you've taken a photograph in a field. And you go, he wasn't one of my men. That was the cat that bit me in Bali. I just took a photograph of him for evidence. He's not my friend.
Yeah, mine was really nice. Our stuff was like stag do's and like, you know, nights out that we've had and sort of family pictures. And then just one photo of you in Wales bent over with the road sign aiming right at your bum. I don't remember taking that photo. I don't remember you having the... you having the personality of a man who would do that.
Who would think that was funny. I don't know.
And also, I'm not the...
What did it say on the roadside?
I can't remember.
A raft. Jason
Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning. It's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio, and it's time for a bit of this.
Questions for Steve.
All right, so we've got this. We've got a few actually today. If you want to ever join in,
okay,
on questions for Steve, you can email us jason@absoluteradio.co.uk, and I'll answer as well. I don't mind joining in. This is from Mark Fish in Essex. And he says, hello, boys. Great show as always. Here's my question to Steve. And you can answer as well if you like, Jason. Okay. If you could take one thing or invention back to the Victorians and show them, simply just to blow their mind, what would it be? Mark says, I'd upgrade their ball in a cup game to swing ball or even the Velcro ball and glove we have.
Yeah, because you can't go with... There's no point going to an iPhone because I don't even know what television is yet, do they?
No, so, like, you wouldn't be able to connect to the Wi-Fi or anything. You'd be like, oh, this works better in the future because you can...
Yeah.
There's actual
internet.
Have
you got a charger? Like an iPhone? Right, I'll be back in a sec. I'm just going to go back to the future and I'll be coming back. I mean, like, anything would blow their mind, wouldn't it? Like, there's lots of, you know, they had a sort of car, didn't they, those in Victorian times, did they? I think that's time, did they?
I think it was after that, wasn't it? 19...
Was it maybe
late 1800s, I think. Yeah, or if you went, even if you went back with a bicycle with normal equal size wheels. Have you thought about this, guys?
Yeah, look at that. Just, you can have them the same size. There's no need. I mean, how'd you get on that for a start off? You could go back because obviously steam was the big thing back then, wasn't it? You know, everything was steam, trains and the, you know. You could go back with like a Hornby train set and go, look at this. Blow their mind, wouldn't it? Like a little steam train set. Just made it. You got any electricity? Don't plug it in. I'll go back to the future. I'm going to get a power pack or a generator or something. You got petrol, yeah? You haven't got petrol? What is this place?
What about vape? If you took a vape back, they were all on pipes and you just had a vape and you're like, taste that, blueberry.
What's a blueberry?
What about that, mate?
It was at the... Right, I'll go back and I'll get something that you all have, like awful vape or something. What are you eating?
Gosh. I've said this before.
All the vapes are sort of fruity, aren't they, and stuff. You know, I don't have a sweet tooth, so if I was going to vape, I'd want like a pork scratching one or
like
roast
a
chicken.
Sunday dinner or something.
Sunday dinner, that'd be a full English. A full English vape.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want that blowing in your face at distance, though, would you?
Really? No, I feel like someone's just ate one, burped.
Oh, no.
And blow it in your face. It'd be horrible, wouldn't it?
That's
a good question.
I mean, like a Polaroid camera would blow their minds, wouldn't it? If you took a Polaroid camera back, and that's not even new technology, but if you went, hang on, just stay there, mate, and then just took a photograph, it would, and it, you know, give a little wave.
They'd give it them straight away.
Like a Polaroid picture.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Mate, that's you.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Maybe that.
I think anything sort of like hygiene related, you know, like even just like hand gel or something, just something that is actually useful and going to help.
I know, but they wouldn't. I don't know how high up hygiene was it? Probably reasonably high, but not like washing your hands as much as we have to wash our hands. You know,
that's true.
That's what they, you know.
Post-it notes. That'd be quite good. You know, they're only about 50 years old.
Yeah, so we're taking... I like the fact we're not taking anything too cutting edge back because we don't want to blow their minds to bits.
No, we don't want to go crazy.
We're taking something that's sort of from the 80s, you know,
Exactly. So he's taking swing ball.
Swing ball? I mean, that's... Yeah, but it looks like it could be, you know, it's like steampunk, isn't it? It's just like a spring and a rod. You know what I mean? It's a thing that... They would understand. They would go, oh, I can see how that works. Why have we not thought of it? Do you know what? If you put a bit of coal in the bottom, you could get that to spin. All right, mate, easy with the steam. It's going to end at some point, and you're going to have to get over that.
Yeah, I reckon that could. I think there's some nice there's nice things you could take back, really help them out. But I think I'd go with post-it notes. I'm just going to go simple like that.
Okay.
And we've got another question, Steve. This is from Sam. As greetings, chaps. Okay. Visited Chessington World of Adventures today, and in a way, both of you were with us. It's nice, isn't it?
Why is that?
Jason, you came in the form of 6 hot dogs in a thermos of hot water. We took a pack of buns, the last of a ketchup bottle, and some sliced cheese. Well, you're welcome. The kids, that's a little tip from me. Throw in a lot of hot dogs in a thermos flask, and off you go for the day. Great idea. Yeah. The kids, Roxy and her friend Melissa, loved having hot picnic food, and I felt like I'd reached dad level 100, all thanks to your suggestion on the show. I didn't take any boiled eggs with me, as it wasn't too cold of a morning. Who are these people paying theme park prices for lunch? Not on my watch. Well, Sam's really got a lot of time on his hands. I'm only halfway through his email. Brandishing, I love it though, I love it. Brandishing a pack of buns, we found ourselves very popular with local birds. This is where Steve came in. The birds in question were none other than seagulls. I obviously named every one of them Stephen, and they enjoyed sharing our picnic. A nearby young girl was visibly confused by my naming of the birds. I explained the reasoning and further advised her to seek clarification from her guardians. One of the greedy gulls was braver than the rest and came right up to the edge of the step. We were sitting on the near Sea Lion Arena. Steve Edge is what they called the seagull.
Yeah.
What must I look like to normal people around me? Keep up the good work, gents. You're in bed with me and the wife most nights, chatting us off to sleep.
Well, that's nice.
Hmm. Yeah, there you go. So that's from Sam. He says, you're not boring, more like comforting and familiar.
Yeah, but you can drift off. I could drift off to anything. You know, I think when I've put something on at night to listen to, it doesn't matter how much I like it, I will drift off.
I've got 2 or 3 podcasts that it takes me a week to listen to them because I just drop off.
It's off when you're enjoying it and you fall asleep and then you sort of come to again and you hear them going, and that was basically it. And you go, God, I've missed loads here.
Or like if you listen to like a crime one, and then you fall asleep, and then suddenly it's on episode 6, and they go, and the body was never found. You're like, oh, God damn it!
Oh, what?
What a waste. I'm listening to a couple of good ones, actually. I love Swindled. I mention that all the time on the show. That was like a white-collar crime, fraud stuff. And the guy's voice is so dull, but in a sort of cool way. I quite like it. So that's a good one to chill out to. And the other one's The Upshot. Have you listened to that yet? I think I recommended it to you.
I'm so far behind on podcasts. I've just started listening to Dead Eyes. I'm about halfway through Dead Eyes. Have you listened to Dead Eyes?
No, I've not listened to that.
Dead Eyes is an actor who was casting.
I have the Band Tom Hanks Brothers thing.
Yeah, and then Tom Hanks said he had Dead Eyes, and he was uncast, and he spent 20 years trying to find out
what he meant,
why, and what it could have been, and it's good.
It is good, that one. Upshot is like about all the bad boys and of sport, basically, and all the sort of wrongs. It's really well researched, and it is funny in parts as well. It's just sort of, you know, from your Roy Keane's to your Ronnie O'Sullivan's to your Shane Ward's and stuff like that. But it's really well done, and there's some really quite surprising and shocking things that you've just sort of totally forgot about your favourite sports people. So that's very good. But we'll always take a recommendation. Drop it in, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.
It's time to play this.
Hit me with your best fact. Fire away.
Ba, ba, ba. I've got to say, Steve, after the facts I gave out last week, which were then somebody had a bit of a moan about. The you know, the guy from Toto was the guy who sang Gummy Bears theme tune, and he's the son of John Williams, the composer. That video that I originally saw has cropped up about 20 times on my algorithm.
I bet it's come up again. I bet somebody else has sent it in again.
It just keeps popping up. It's mad, mad. If you want to join in with our little game, all you got to do is drop me an email, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk, and you can win yourself an Absolute Radio mug to be won. If you can wow us with your amazing facts. But Steve, how do we get wowed?
Well, we get wowed by the weird and the familiar, like something we can use now. Like if there was something about what to use instead of water, I'd be interested. Me as a prick off. I'd be like, oh, sounds interesting. Or how to take down a water corporation from the inside, that sort of thing. That would be interesting. But like we're coming into spring, aren't we? The May Day tomorrow, isn't it? So like, you know, all that sort of stuff. There'd be some pagan, some little fact to be good, but something that impresses us, something that rocks our boat.
Yeah, that could all work, all those things. So I've got a few for you here, Steve. Mark Johnson says, hi, guys. I had this in a quiz recently and no one believed it. The measurements of a computer mouse is measured in Mickey's.
What?
What's that mean?
Like Mickey Mouse?
I guess so. Yeah, so if you how big's that mouse? It's about six Mickeys.
No, but it's not like a measuring format anyone's familiar with. It's not imperial. It's not, you know, it's either millimeters or inches, isn't it? You can't just then go, oh, and Mickeys, because you can measure any distance or, you know, miles. You could have a speedometer on your car that went with Mickeys.
Yeah, I mean,
how many Mickeys to a mile? No,
you can't making up measurements, can you?
No, you can't. There's a few ways of measuring, and that's not, you can't invent a new one. Mickey's.
Yeah, that's not right, is it?
Nah, not having it.
But that's what.
I mean,
it doesn't stop his fact,
though, hasn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't stop his fact being right, does it?
It's been checked, hasn't it? And you know, I don't know. Pete might use a different system than Adem used to use. BBC Bite Size, didn't he? So
that's true. Yeah, we have got a new
Author or Leicester, or we don't know yet, do we? It's too early to say.
We don't know. Yeah, we've got a new producer of the show, Pete, which we'll introduce next week. Let him settle in this week, I reckon, before we introduce him to the world. Michelle says, there is an island. There's an island on Lake Chippewa that moves and the people that live there have to push it back in place.
And gone. This sounds brilliant. They have to get off the island,
yeah,
and all push it, like a.
Apparently so.
Where is Chippewa? Chippewa? Did you say?
Sounds. I don't know.
Mexico.
It sounds in America. It sounds American, doesn't it?
Yeah,
sounds American, but how big is it? I mean, they have some big.
So do they? Are they just like? Obviously, they're getting closer to another island. You know, that's when they notice. They go. Oh,
yeah, maybe
I didn't have one before. I can hear him talking again. We're getting too close. Right, everybody off. Let's push it back towards the other country. Is that what happens?
I guess so, yeah. I don't know. And how do they move it? Do they just all, like, get boats and push it? I like the sound of that. Some good facts. Got another one here from Jay Moxer, who says, you should be able to stand on one leg continuously for 43 seconds if you're aged 18 to 39, and for 40 seconds if you're aged between 40 and 49.
Okay, so if you can beat those odds,
further than that.
But if you can beat those odds, I mean, I'm 51, so if I could, what is that, if I can do 30 seconds,
I'm just standing up now.
Are you doing it?
Yeah, of course.
Let me have a go as well.
Which leg? Because I've got one leg stronger than the other.
I'm going right leg.
Okay, I'm gonna go right leg.
This is great radio, isn't it?
This is brilliant radio. Yeah, I've just stood on
right,
one leg.
Are you counting?
I'm not counting.
I've done about 10 seconds already.
Because you know there's that old man test, isn't there, where if can you put your socks and shoes on, balancing on one leg? Right, well, I do that,
I think. Take my trousers off. One leg.
20 seconds, that's been, I reckon.
Ooh, so I've only got to get to 30 and I'm beating the odds.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, 40 seconds. If you get to 40 seconds, that's... Because you're what? How old are you now? 50?
I'm 51. I think I could do this for another minute at least. I've got nothing. I've got no quiver. Hang on. Spoke too soon.
This is easy. Oh no!
This is easy, isn't it?
My calf's going a bit now. All right.
I think that's enough. You've got to. You've got to balance that out psychologically. That's your brain messing with you. What are we on?
I've sat down, mate. That was 40 seconds, yeah. I'm having that.
I'm going to stay up for the rest of it, just seeing how long it can last.
Yeah.
Keep the timer going.
My question to Jay Moxon there about that fact is, should you be out of breath? I feel like that I shouldn't be, but I am.
Yeah, but we were talking as well. Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't know. It feels wrong to
you
be
didn't
out of breath.
Say about talking. I feel like that. I feel like we could have done that for longer.
The old man test, though, is... Yeah,
either so that or... What's the old man test?
So you get your socks and shoes and you stand on one leg and put your sock on and then put your shoe
stand
on.
And the other leg, put the other sock on.
And then stand the other one and put your sock and shoe on without obviously touching the floor or falling over.
Depends if you've got laces or anything, doesn't it? What are you doing, laces in the air? Air laces.
Laces are involved, yeah.
Okay, I'll give that a go later.
Give it a go. I'd be very surprised. Yeah, exactly. Keeps your mind occupied while you've got no water, while you're slowly dehydrating. We've got a couple more facts here, Steve. Steve Tindall says it costs more than 1p to make a penny coin.
Oh, what's the point?
Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I mean, nobody uses them anymore anyway.
And I wonder when that became a thing as well. I wonder when it did cost more than 1p, because I imagine 20 years ago it didn't, but now it does. Exactly.
You know what I feel sorry for is homeless people. Not, I mean, obviously, I feel sorry for them anyway, just in general life. But the amount of times now I have to, like, I always, you know, you give them a quid or something like if you, you know, if someone's, but what do you do now? Because nobody has any cash on them anymore. No. And if you're a homeless person, you've got Apple Pay, like one of those little white machines, you'd be like, give over,
people
mate.
Judge you.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So, like,
but you can get them for about 30 quid now, can't you? Something. So, you know, it's not bad to just tap. But then you've got to check, how much you give in. Yeah,
I know.
It's just a pound, mate. Is it?
I know.
Never lost.
The big issues, people, they've got them. Now, that's not too bad. You feel quite like secure doing that because it's a proper company and stuff.
Yeah, that's part of the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Colin Maskell says, in Utah, birds have the right of way on a highway.
Oh.
But they can fly.
So if they're in the road, you have to stop them. After you, mate, come on. Imagine you just got a really angry bird just going nowhere, mate.
Somebody
dropped a pasty in the middle of the street. Eh? You gotta wait for him to eat all that.
some good ones there. And Daisy Byrne says, prior to 1920, it was legal to post a child in the US using the postal system.
Wow.
Imagine why would you need to do that?
I mean, don't make any sense. This is before Every, though, isn't it? Because obviously that child would be lost. Wouldn't it?
Well, that's true.
With
Every. Or you'd end up with the wrong child, or you'd wake up one morning and be like, "So you weren't available. We've left your child under your bin."
Yeah, you'd be at the nearest collecting station in Maidstone. You've got to go there. It's only open on a Tuesday. You're like,
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
So we need to pick a winner, Steve, from our Hit Me With Your Best Facts this week. We had a measurement of a computer mouse measured in Mickey's. We had Lake Chippewa that moves and people move it, push it back into place. You should be able to stand on one leg continuously for 43 seconds if you're between 18 and 39, and 40 seconds if you're over 40. 1p costs more than 1p to make. And in Utah, birds have a right of way on the highway, and it was legal to post a child in the US using the postal system prior to 1920. Have we got a winner, Steve?
It's that Lake Chippewa. How that moves. I want to know where they push it back. I want to know where it is. There's so much stuff I want to know there. I mean, I'll take with me the fact that pennies cost more than a penny to make, but
yeah, that's quite,
you know,
good to
you
have
use them. They're in circulation for years, aren't they?
Yeah. I just Googled the Lake Chippewa, and it's some fantastic pictures of people with boats right pressed up against the island and pushing it back into place.
What? Like motorboats, not like rowing it back?
Motorboats, yeah. The lake's unique floating islands began as chunks of peat bog that rose up from the land beneath the lake. Over time, vegetation started to grow on these islands, that's what they become, and they gradually float. The island floats towards the road, essentially, the coast, and people push it back. It's called 40-acre bog. How bizarre is that?
So when the traffic gets too loud, you know it's time to move. When you can hear the traffic, they're like...
The only thing I will say is I don't think people live on it, from what I can see. It does just look like an island.
Yeah, because you'd have to get everybody off it, wouldn't you? If you were trying to push it, it wasn't budging. You'd be like, is Dave still in the bath? Dave's in the bath today, full bath of water. The weight of Dave. He's a big lad, Dave. He's in a full bath. No, we've got to get Dave out of the bath. He's got to empty that bath. Everybody empty your bath, by the way. You know what I mean? Sorry, I'm just saying about water.
I know. I did notice. I thought, oh, my God, he's gone off on one about water. last year, it took over 20 boats to come together to push the island away from the bridge.
But why would you want it? If no one lives on it, what's the point of moving it around? Let it go where it needs to go. I mean, it seems to have been formed out of nothing. So let nature take it where it needs to go. You know, who are you? Are you in control of this island? What is this?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really say why it's a problem if it... Unless it's just... I think what might happen is it basically...
It gets in the way.
Yeah, it floats over and it blocks the bridge, so any boats coming underneath it can't...
Yeah, okay.
Can't get by. So that's what it looks like. Happens.
All right, fair enough. Makes sense.
Yeah, so there you go. Good fact. We love it. You can email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Good morning, Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. There's a little story in the paper the other day. The perfect bacon sandwich. Breakfast expert reveals his simple secrets. This is Guy's Boole, chairman of the English Breakfast Society. That sounds like he's made that society up.
That's not a real job. That's not a real job. He's made that up.
Not having that. Yeah. It had a few basic tips for people to adopt when making a bacon sarnie. Bread, butter and bacon. Should be used with no extras, he says.
Right.
But he added bread. He also says bread should be toasted.
I prefer toasted, yeah.
I don't mind either way, but I do, when I go the extra...
toasted.
Yeah, I'm happy with both, but I do like it.
Because the bacon's warm, I want the bread warm. I don't want cold bread covering.
Fair enough.
You know, I'll go either. If it was a roll, a bacon roll, I wouldn't want that toasted, but bread... Would.
Yeah, I don't mind. If it's nice thick Warby's, you know, and it's nice and soft. I like the softness of it sometimes. It's something that
nothing else though.
Well, that's what he says here. Mildly salted.
Sauce,
well, he says mildly salted English butter, good old British back bacon. There's simply no substitute. His advice goes against the results of a recent poll by Hovis. The bread maker said it polled more than 2,000 people. The BLT beat the humble chicken salad into second, while third favourite was tuna mayonnaise. So people do like lettuce and tomato in there with their... But I don't think I would ever... If I was making a bacon sandwich, it would not turn into a BLT.
No, I don't... No, you wouldn't make one at home.
You've got to put ketchup or brown sauce on, though, haven't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think you need a little bit of vinegar, don't you, to lift it. But also, I'd argue, you know, if you're having, obviously it's a bacon sandwich, but if you're having a sort of plant-based bacon sandwich, then you do need the lettuce and tomato. You need all the things around it to familiarise yourself that it's a BLT, because you haven't got the B. You've got the protein.
Yeah, I can see
so
that.
That's, you know, that's the thing.
I can see that.
The things that go around it sometimes, you know, make it.
But are you a red or brown sauce man?
I'm a brown sauce. I must say this. I went to a restaurant once. Not a restaurant. It was a place called the Kino. It's a cinema, and it had a little side restaurant sort of thing in St. Leonard's. This was a couple of years ago. I don't think the people doing it were there then. But it said on the menu, the best bacon sandwich ever. And I remember saying to my wife, a bit of a bold claim. I swear to God, it was. I don't know what they'd done. I don't know what they'd done. But I don't think those people run it anymore, so I don't know if that's there anymore as an option. I don't know what it was.
What was it called?
The sauce wasn't tomato and it wasn't brown. It was like a sort of like a tomato, but with a tiny bit of spice in, a little bit thinner. It was sort of salad leaves, but it wasn't lettuce. It was toasted. It was amazing. But I just remember going, bit of a boast, eh? And then I ate it. I was like, that is the best bacon sandwich I've ever eaten.
Where was it? What was it called again? The place?
It's the Kino, but it's the cinema's called the Keynote. There's a little restaurant on the side. I think it's a different restaurant now, but it was amazing.
Right. Well, if there's anywhere near you claiming the best of anything food wise, we want to know.
We need
email
to know.
Me. Jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Absolute Radio. Manford. Where real music matters.
Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. And hey, some big news this week, Steve. I'm going to do another musical.
Oh, yeah? You haven't told me? What's this?
No, I've not told you. It just came about in the last couple of weeks. And I thought, it's not the full musical. We're doing a concert version, a tester, really, just to see if people, if it works over here, because it's quite American. Oddly, considering its subject matter. So I'm going to do a show called Something Rotten. And it's from the co-director of The Book of Mormon and Avenue Q. And it's basically, it's set in Shakespeare time. So it's set in England, 1595. And it's about the Bottom brothers, Nick and Nigel, who are trying to find success by writing plays, but keep getting outshined by this rock star playwright of the Renaissance, William Shakespeare. Who's
Bill Shakespeare?
Who's like a real, like, big head, sort of full of himself, sort of rock star. You know, everyone fancies him. So desperate to find success, Nick gets help from a soothsayer who's actually Nostradamus's nephew, and he sees the future and he tells them that the next big thing in theatre is the musical, and so they invent the musical. Okay. And he actually starts writing Omelette the Musical. And that's, which weirdly, when I was in the producers, Ross Noble came up with Cheese the Musical and started writing a musical about cheese. I guess once you've seen Cats, you're like,
it can do anything.
It can do anything. So that's what I'm doing next. That's in August. And you can get tickets now. That's going to be at Drury Lane for two nights, I think. Two nights. But it's brilliant. It's really funny. I've been after it for ages. I've been like ringing my agent and producers and, can we do this? Because it's so funny. And it's so rare, as you know, Steve, to go to a musical or a piece of theatre that is genuinely funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I knew it's good as well, isn't it? It's new as well.
Exactly, yeah. So something a bit different. Something that's not been done over here. But it is just very, very funny. And there's lots of theatre that, like, you can find funny things in it. But I always think, I mean, maybe it's because I do stand-up as well, but I always think people's expectations are lower when they come to go to see a piece of theatre when it comes to their sense of humour.
Yeah, you've got to be more willing to laugh.
They'll really laugh at stuff.
When you go and see stand-up, you're like, well, make me laugh a bit.
You've got to do a bit of the work
because you've said you're a stand-up comedian. Whereas,
yeah.
I don't know, it's a different sort of laugh, isn't it, at theatre?
I think so, yeah. Exactly. But this is proper belly laugh, so I think you'll enjoy it an awful lot. And like I say, won Tonys and all sorts of awards on Broadway, so this is the debut here in London. Thanks for joining us this morning here on Absolute Radio. Steve, what have you got planned the rest of your Sunday?
I'm going to try and get some of the rainwater from the garden, surface water that's landed in sort of pots and stuff, and boil it. See if I can make a cup of tea. That's my plan. Mate.
I'm not getting
that queue for Asda for 2 hours.
No. I hope you and the rest of Hastings, St Leonard get their water back this weekend. It's an awful situation. Just try not, maybe don't eat anything with too much fibre. Eat stuff with fibre, low phobia diet.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, exactly.
I'd say I just drink water and not eat anything, but I can't even do that. So I'll just drink like alcohol, because then it'll sort of cleanse, you know. The wine fridge is still on.
Oh, well, there you go then. Pour that down the toilet.
Yeah, fine.
So maybe some of your homemade wine. All right.
So it works as a cleaning agent.
Exactly. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your week. What will you see me on this week? I'll be popping around on a few things this week, doing various breakfast shows, doing some bits for Soccer Aid and Lorraine. I think there's a Loose Women in there in a Saturday kitchen next week. So you'll see me, little face, popping up on telly. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and the rest of your week, and we'll see you next week here on Absolute Radio.